You are now listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Simon Fraser University in Burnaby, British Columbia. We strive to provide perspectives that are rarely expressed in mainstream media. If you'd like to know more about us, check out our website at cjsf.ca.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. It is only through a change in human consciousness that the world will be transformed. The personal and the planetary are connected. As we expand our awareness of mind, body, psyche, and spirit, and bring that awareness actively into the world, so also will the world be changed. This is our quest as we explore new dimensions.
For the most part, our cultural mindset is anti-aging. We live in a storm of messages that tell us the good life includes looking younger and acting younger. We're indoctrinated to receive as a most high compliment, "You look so young for your age." Billions of dollars are spent on our obsession in avoiding getting old. Yet every one of us everywhere is aging, whether we like it or not. No miracle cream or magical pill can mitigate the fact that with each passing moment, we're further from birth and closer to death. Even so, our guests today, Richard Leider and David Shapiro, have some good news to help us reimagine getting old. They write, "We can be old on our own terms for as long as possible." And they go on to say, "By making choices about what it means to be old, we're not denying the advancement of time, but we're taking charge of what it means to act our age in our own way. And the earlier we begin to reimagine old age, the better." Richard Leider is the founder of Inventure, the Purpose Company, whose mission is to help people unlock the power of purpose. He's the author and co-author of many books, including Repacking Your Bags and The Power of Purpose. Both of these books are considered classics in the personal growth field. And recently, both David and Richard have turned their attention to the subject of aging. And they are the co-authors of Who Do You Want to Be When You Grow Old? The Path of Purposeful Aging. So please join us for the next hour as Richard Leider and David Shapiro guide us in aging into the fullness of life. I'm speaking with Richard and David from their homes by remote connection. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. I'll be your host. Welcome to New Dimensions. David, Richard, welcome.
Thank you. For me, it's a pleasure and a privilege to be back.
So that was Richard and David. Maybe we'll hear your voice a little bit so people can tell the difference.
Likewise. Thank you so much for having us here today. It's a real thrill.
It's my thrill, too. I just love delving into this book. And I first want to say you are taking ownership of a word that we avoid in our culture a lot, and that word is old. So I'd love for you, both of you, to say something about taking ownership of that word.
Yeah, this is Richard. Even our publisher didn't want us to use the word old in the book, Who Do You Want to Be When You Grow Old? Because they said old doesn't sell. Books on old are avoided by people, just like Justine, you said. And we decided, no, we're going to own it, not only own it, but we're going to stand on it in a positive, not a Pollyannish way, because there are challenges at any stage of life. But we're going to take a stand on the positive mindset of aging, which has a whole lot of benefits to it that we can talk about.
David?
Yeah, and it's also, we noticed that in many realms, old is a good thing. If you have old wine or old books or, like Richard and I, old friends, in those ways, old is used in a positive sense. And it's, so it's odd that there's this pejorative sense of old when it comes to people. And as you said, we've wanted to reclaim the word. We're glad to be old. It's great. Old means old is good.
Your book has come out of a conversation, but more than that, it's come out of a very long conversation that the two of you have been having, for because you are old friends. And this is a good thing that you have created great history together. And besides that, you've written books together. And now this is your most recent one, Who Do You Want to Be When You Grow Old? So this has come out of an old friendship and an old acquaintance. Mm-hmm. And I know that you use the word growing old rather than getting old. So I'd love for you to help us with that distinction.
Richard, two pieces I would add to that, or two concepts. The first one is that aging is, or purposeful aging, is age agnostic. It can start, and does, if you're awake earlier in life, but there are certain points, inflection points in life and crisis points in life, where we start to look at age and we look at purposeful aging a little more deeply. So our conversation, I mean, we've had, I think it's six books together or more that, and, you know, some bestsellers and things like that. But our conversation has, traveled along with our own age as we've gotten older. Just because the last book started at a baseball game, it wasn't that it started there. It just happened to be that was a point where we said, let's do something with this, that let's talk or write about this. And so I think that that everybody's an experiment of one. We all have our own stories. But when we share our stories, David and I, magic happens.
I want to say about growing old, and I want to talk about the stories, because that's really important. That's an important subject I want to cover. But before I do that, mm-hmm. I'm reminded of a process that I did once when preparing for an interview that I did with Hirsch Wilson.
Yeah. And we both know Hirsch.
Became an old friend.
Oh, great. I'm so, here's our tribe. Here's our tribe.
Yeah.
And in his book, Firefighter Zen, he had us do an exercise where we took a piece of paper and we made a dot on the left-hand side of the paper. And then we made a dot on the right-hand side of the paper. And we drew a line between them. And then we, on the left side of the paper, we wrote down the day of our birth. And on the right side of the paper, we wrote down the projection we had of when we're going to die. And, you know, we'd base it on, okay, family history and our own health and stuff. So we put a date that we're going to make up, but, you know, with some thought. Yeah. And then we put another dot on today's date that we're drawing that line. And then we look at that dot and we see how much time we have left in our life. Mm-hmm. And I want to say that doing that exercise took it out of the existential, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to die someday. Yeah. When I say, oh, I have, 15 years or I have, 5 years or whatever that number is, it becomes very real.
Right.
And that has something to do with what you all are talking about. And
totally.
As we go back, well, first of all, do you have any comment on that process?
Well, and we have done that similar exercise with people, but I think the insight is simply that time is our most valuable currency. It's not money, it's time. And so at certain ages or with certain things, like I'm dealing with a health challenge right now, and all of a sudden that makes time more relevant. And I don't expect that it's going to end soon, but it's going to end sooner than I was thinking it was going to end. So the point is that time, so much of the pushback on purpose and the work we've done on purpose is, oh, I'm too busy. I don't have time for this. Until some inflection point or some age or some stage where we are either forced or we find that that purpose is all of a sudden very relevant.
Yeah.
And I think also when you reflect on those long periods of time, it really gives you a perspective. So for instance, soon after Repacking came out in 1994, I went to Richard's 50th birthday party. And I did a little stand-up routine to roast him. And I remember, I was 37 at the time. And I remember thinking,
and I was 50
years old. That is old. And then, of course, when I look at that now, 50 is a young man. So the sort of scale of time puts things in perspective that way.
Exactly.
I mean, Richard and I have known each other and been friends and colleagues now longer than I was old when I first met him. And I wasn't I was a grown man when that happened.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And that just kind of takes me a bit too into what you mentioned about stories. And of course, the two of you have come together with many stories. And when we look back over our life, we have a lot of stories to tell. And you talk about that, and we're with older people and they're telling their story over and over and over, and you kind of don't feel a lot of energy when you're trying to listen to it again. So I want to ask about storytelling and what gives our storytelling vitality.
Well, we talked in our most recent book, this is Richard, the book, Who Do You Want to Be When You Grow Old? We talk about living life in the rearview mirror or living life in the windshield. Both of them have relevance and value. In the rearview mirror, the story is about what you're saying, Justine, and that is all the things that are in the past. In the windshield, it's what's there's a reason that the windshield's larger than the rearview mirror. And yet, oftentimes we spend too much time on the little mirror, the rearview mirror. So
I want to say more about that, but I need to remind our listeners that I'm here with Richard Leiter and David Shapiro, and they are the co-authors of Who Do You Want to Be When You Grow Old? A Path of Purposeful Aging. And if you want to know more about their work, you can go to the website richardleiter.com. And he spells his last name L-E-I-D-E-R, richardleiter.com. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. Thank you. I'm here with authors David Shapiro and Richard Leiter, and we're talking about Who Do You Want to Be When You Grow Old? The Path of Purposeful Aging, which is the name of their newest book. And we're talking about storytelling. I mean, here, as we age, we have lots of stories to tell. And Richard, you were just reminding us that there is a way to look in the rearview mirror or look through the windshield. So I'd love for you to say more about that.
Well, I wonder how many of your listeners have been at a reunion of any size or shape. And oftentimes it's about the rearview mirror. It's about where we were when and how we were. And then when you ask, so what are you up to now? If there's a blank, I walk away. Because if people are not living in a new, curious way, I think that they're missing the point. Both are important. Our story from the past and our grounding is critical, but even more critical is what we call the good life and moving forward. So David and I have a story about our past, but we're really living in where our vitality is, I think, David. You respond. Is in what we're creating moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just wanted to add about stories. I mean, Justin, you said, you know, people can sort of get bogged down in hearing the same old story from the same old person told over and over. And the value in our stories that we talk about in the book is in what you can learn from them. So often, you know, I'm telling some old story about my life to someone in an effort to educate them. And I think that's where it gets boring and tedious. When we're telling our stories to learn about or gleaning from our stories, lessons that we can take going forward, that's where the real vitality is. That's where they really matter.
So it's not so much trying to convince the listener to change their life. It's like we're reliving it in a new way because our life is so new and we're seeing it. Oh my gosh, that reminds me of when I did something or other. And now I'm looking at it very differently because the listener is there and making it different for me. Is that, am I getting?
Yeah, the life you live is the legacy you leave. So that legacy comes from your story in the past, but also how you're manifesting it in today. And so the life you live is the legacy you leave. And we all want to leave a legacy. It doesn't have to be a big thing, but it's in our DNA. We want our lives to matter. That's why purpose is mattering matters. Purpose is important, and story is important in helping us to articulate that, no matter how large or how small that story is.
You know, you both of you work a lot with purpose. And I know that you mentioned in your writing, in this newest writing, you briefly mentioned three steps to unlock that purpose. And I'd love to kind of briefly go through those three steps. And the first one to remind you is what are my gifts? What do I love to do as finding your purpose? So can you say something about that first step?
Well, one of the people who wrote a foreword for one of our books, Something to Live For, was Richard Bowles, who wrote What Color Is Your Parachute, the late Richard Bowles, who was an Episcopal priest, who in a nutshell said this. He said, I had this dream where I had a conversation with God, and I wanted to go to Earth to do something. And so God gave him gifts to take to Earth. He woke up the next morning, and he couldn't remember the gifts. He remembered that he had a dream, but he couldn't remember the gifts. And he claimed, and I agree with this, that we all have amnesia about what are we here to do? What's the point of the exercise? Why am I here on Earth? Somehow we have to figure that out. And sometimes it comes through age or crisis or other experiences. But what we want people to do is, we hope people to do is to discern their gifts as the first part of that purpose formula. What am I here to do? What do I love to do? And so we have tools and processes and stories to help people discern those gifts.
And I think that in that next step, the clue to that is what energizes me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And also what drains me, to know both of those.
Yep.
Yeah. And you can think of it, those three steps, as the how, the who, and the what. My gifts are the how. How can I help? We need an audience. The who are we sharing our gifts with? And then what's the, like you said, Justine, the third part, what energizes you? That's the litmus test. When I'm doing the thing that makes me feel like I'm alive, that's the real key.
And I know that when you talk about purpose, you say very explicitly, purpose is a verb. It's not a noun. It's not a static thing. It's a path and a practice. And I just love that. I thought, okay, that's reframing it for me. Purpose is a practice.
Well, I would suggest for your listeners that they test out a default purpose. In other words, action often precedes clarity. If you act purposefully, sometimes purpose just shows up in a felt sense. So that's what, and so the default purpose is only two words, grow and give. So what we ask people to do is to put on their mirror a little post-it that says grow and give. And how am I going to grow and give today? When they look at it in the morning and at night before they go to sleep, how did I grow and give today? And from that action, which precedes clarity, comes a sense, a felt sense, oh, this purpose thing, it's not so big. We talk about purpose, Justine, with a big P. It's kind of like the big, you know, Mother Teresa, Nelson Mandela, Martin Luther King. But the little P is, what did I do today to grow and give, to make a difference in someone else's life? And then what do I do tomorrow? So there are 1,440 purpose moments in a day, and you have 1,440 choice points. So that's, so David, you can add to that, because you do this with younger, you do this with a lot younger people.
Yeah. Yeah. And just a little more about the big P and little P and path and practice. There is a way in which we can think about the big P being the path. That's the global, large sense of purpose. And then the little P is those practices. What did I do today? For me, it's, what did I do in a classroom to help a student bring their philosophical sensibilities alive? It can be something very small. I'm not changing the world in a grand way, but I'm making a difference in a small way in someone's life. And those are the practices, the purpose practices that I engage in.
Well, all of that reminds me of when I was preparing for this interview, I got reminded of a wonderful poem that I think really applies here. It's a poem by Jack Gilbert called A Brief for the Defense. And at the end of this poem, he gives us the image of being in a little rowboat, and or a little ship, he calls it, in a port. And we're looking, and it's night, and we're looking at the shoreline, and all the cafes are shuttered. But then he says, three shuttered cafes and one naked light burning. And that just like, whoa, that's what you're talking about, is that, and I really interpreted that for me in the new context since I've been immersed in your work. I'm reading that poem very differently now, and I see that light as that little spark of where I have been useful. All the other shuttered places, or I didn't go there, I wasn't useful there, and nothing happened there. but that one light is still shining. And I got very excited about that. Is that what you're talking about, that contribution that we have to make?
Yeah, for me it is. And Annie Dillard wrote, a good life is made up of a series of good days, starting with today. So it gets down to the light that you're talking about, the burning light today. You see that light and what it's your choice that you make to live.
That takes me to the way you've redone the quote about, today is the first day of the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You have reframed that. So tell us about the reframing of that.
Well, I think, I have here in front of me, off of my own mirror, a post-it that says grow and give. So today, it's as simple as, am I growing and giving today? And at the end of the day, can I go to bed feeling fulfilled? That not in any, as David said, in any big way, I didn't change the world, but I might have just listened to one person today. It might have been in a store, could have been in a gas station, it could be in the classroom for David, or it could be, but I look every day to make a difference in one person's life. That's my little P.
Right.
My big P, which I think is important to get across, Justine, to your listeners, is this. We're talking here about unlocking purpose, not discovering it. It's not out there someplace, it's in here. But to unlock it means to act, to do some action is required to unlock that. And out of that will come some clarity rather than some kumbaya philosophical, that can happen as well. But I think when people start acting purposefully, all of a sudden they get it.
Well, I know for me in my life, it unfolded into my purpose. It wasn't purposeful, I got to say. I never said, answer the question. I was never even asked the question, what do you want to be when you grow up? I never got that question.
Good.
And I just kind of grew into it. And now that I look at my life, it just feels like I am right on purpose. I really feel that. But I feel that, as you say, you grow into it. Sometimes it's just growing into it.
What you just said is really important, and David, I feel it now. That's what we're looking for. It's not just the concept of purpose, which can be, ephemeral or big. But when you have a felt sense of purpose, then you start acting that way. It's a different game. David.
Can you hold that thought, please,
yes.
Because I want to hear from you. I'm here with David Shapiro and Richard Leiter, and they are the co-authors of Who Do You Want to Be When You Grow Old? The Path of Purposeful Aging. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions